Hey guys, welcome to the LEZ podcast. Now this episode is a very special one because this was the pilot, the debut episode of my podcast. This was recorded 2 years ago at the end of 2016, where I met the girl at the restaurant, and there was no equipment because I had no show, and I knew I was going to get a show later on, but at that time I wasn't sure, so we just had this phone in the middle of the table is facing the girl so you can hear him loud and clear. My voice is all right. But it's a great episode. The girls talk about their childhood growing up. They talk about music and they talk about being Pakistani. So I want to thank Cruella for being absolutely amazing. Not just musicians, DJs, but overall amazing human beings. So this is the LEZ podcast with Cruella. Check 1, 2. No, I'm kidding. All right, so what's up, girls?
Welcome back.
We got Cruella, Yasmin, and Jahan, and they're joining us back on Pakmunzel.com. This is the first ever podcast that we're doing.
Oh, cool.
Really?
So, yeah.
Never done a so podcast exciting.
Before. Yeah. So
thank you for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So thank
you. Shukriya.
Shukriya.
All right, how good is your Urdu?
Oh,
not good. It's pretty horrible. We know the basics. Salaam alaikum, khudafis, kanakal, susuaya,
hot shukriya.
Oh my god, we know funny stuff too that we should never say on a podcast.
Samajh mein aati hai Urdu?
Like
if someone's talking crap about you in Urdu, you guys.
I'll just smile because I won't understand.
Oh no.
That's okay.
Lots of people talk crap about us. I mean, we know some bad words in Urdu. I don't want to say them though.
You can share them. It's uncensored podcast.
Oh, true. Okay, we know like Benchot, Motherchot. What else do we know?
By the way, our Abu did not teach us.
No,
these.
He did.
Oh, Abu did?
Abu told Neda.
Abu's gonna
and
get
then
in
Neda
trouble.
Told us.
Abu's gonna get mad when he hears this podcast.
It's Abu's fault. But Abu didn't mean, he was saying it as an example. He all wasn't right. saying, like, you should go say this.
He was probably telling a story
exactly.
about someone else who was using those words.
And what part is Abu from in Pakistan?
Lahore. Yeah. Lahore.
Have you guys been to Lahore?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's your favorite Pakistani food?
Oh my god. So, that's hard.
I love chaat.
Chaat?
Chaat.
We don't eat meat anymore.
I know.
So if I were to eat meat, it would either be chicken biryani or I have this memory from about 10 years ago when our Dadiji was still alive and she made this goat pumpkin dish.
Kaddu.
Is it called kaddu?
Goat pumpkin.
Yeah, it was goat pumpkin.
So pumpkin's kaddu.
Okay. So good. And I can still remember what it tastes like. But okay, if I really have to choose anything, parathas are my favorite food.
My mom just made kaddu the other day. And
really?
I'm like, Mom, come on, no.
Do you not like it?
No.
But we love desi food.
Samosas, we like the classic.
Samosas, I love gulab jamun. I can probably eat like 10 in a row. I'm so bad.
Oh man, that's asking for diabetes.
Exactly.
That's not good.
Exactly.
Right, on a scale of 1 through 10, how Pakistani are you? And we're going to challenge this right now.
I think we're right in the middle.
Yeah.
I would call myself a 5.
A 5.
Because we're half and half.
I would say less for me because I'm predominantly English speaking and everything I wear is pretty much American clothing and I can't name 5 Pakistani artists. I'm going to go 3.
Okay.
If this is based on trivia, you're about
right.
to ask.
Drink chai?
Yeah, I love chai.
G.
I'm the chai wala.
Chai
yes,
wala.
Who makes great
I make
chai
great
too.
Chai.
Chai wali.
Yeah, you know,
chai wali.
Maybe whenever you go to Pakistan, you know, handing out chai in your concert.
I'll do it.
Jasmine chai.
Jasmine's the chai wali.
What about lota?
You guys have
yes. 100%.
Oh, we could talk about this all day.
Yes.
Yeah, if we use a public restroom, we'll bring in like a water bottle or cup and people think we're weird leaving cups behind.
People think we're so weird, but it's how we were raised.
Oh yeah.
It's the Pakistani way.
And I think everyone should use a lota.
Everyone should,
especially in the States, everyone should be exposed to what a lota is. because I think they would be transformed.
Has anyone told you that music is haram? Do people criticize you on clothing? Like trolls on social media? You know, there's always like trolls on everywhere, like commenting, like keyboard warriors, like, oh, this is haram, you shouldn't do this. How do you deal with that negativity?
I would say we've gotten more negativity regarding the way we dress and the way we present ourselves from a Western audience, which is the amazing thing. And that's probably because we don't have enough like Muslim or Pakistani fans. But more, I say when we even first started off, and this is just one of the battles of being a woman in the music industry, is you're being judged for how you dress. And if it's like, if you're performing outside and it's 90 degrees out and it's a festival, you should be allowed to wear shorts or a tank top and whatever you want to wear. And I'd say we've gotten more backlash from a Western audience, but I feel like we haven't, we'll see how it plays out once we get more Pakistani fans and Muslim fans, but I've never experienced anything like that.
It hasn't been often, really. Yeah. Most of our Desi fans are just so excited.
Yeah.
They're just so excited to see two Pakistani girls doing this. So.
And what about racism in America? I mean, if people know you're Pakistani, especially the other audiences, have you guys been ever subject to any racism, prejudice?
Here and there, it's not very often. I will say that if we ever speak out about like the shooting in the church in Texas 2 days ago, if I were to speak out and say like this man is a terrorist, and I can imagine that in the past I've said things like that about similar things that have happened in American history, in our recent history, and someone will say something about my or our Pakistani background, and that's the only reason why I'm using that expression to define a white man. Or yeah.
What about like in high school? I remember when I was in high school, you know, and I'm browner than you guys, so like people would be like terrorist or, you know, like go home, back to Pakistan. Mm.
I mean, I have a very specific memory. We grew up in a predominantly Christian Jewish neighborhood in Northbrook, and I remember the day after 9/11 happened. I mean, there were terrorists involved in 9/11 with the last name Yusuf, and so. There was this kid in my class who came up to me, and in front of everyone, I still remember, he's just like, why did your family do that yesterday? And it was horrifying to me because I'm like, I'm 9 years old, I don't know anything.
Yeah,
and
like,
I mean, right after, I remember a couple things here and there, and I'm sure, Jahan, you had some experiences as well.
I think a lot of it is also, even if nothing happens to you directly, I think it's you internalize shame from just the way Afghanis, Pakistanis, anyone from that region, and now today, Syria and Iraq, just the way the media is talking and instilling this fear. We're growing up in a country where we're taught to be afraid of African Americans, that they're a threat. And I think when you grow up being African American, or you grow up being Pakistani, or you grow up Muslim, you're raised with this constant idea in your head that people see you as a potential threat. People see you as dangerous, rather than just seeing you as another American or just an immigrant, like anyone else. And I think that affects someone's psyche. I think that can lead to social anxiety. I think that can lead to depression, feeling alone, feeling like you don't belong. And in turn, that can affect you, that can cause long-term effects, psychological effects on someone.
Now, your image that people see versus reality, is it quite similar? Some fans are always thinking you're always partying, you're always traveling, having fun, you know. So describe your personality.
We are always having fun. We have the most fun job in the world. We get to make music and tour and play shows. It is incredibly fun. We are completely sober on tour. So that is probably the biggest misconception. But
on this tour,
yes. But it's like people are gonna see what they want to see online, and we can't control every little bit of what people think. But as long as people enjoy our music and have respect for us when we're on stage, which I hope exists, then can't control everything.
Yeah.
Or lassi.
Oh, I love lassi.
Plain or mango?
Mango.
Mango.
Oh, plain guy.
Mango.
Plain is great too, but mangoes.
Now, is it lonely being on top? I mean, you're surrounded by this bubble in the industry, and some people are just telling you, you know, what you want to hear. I mean, there's so many ass kissers in this industry. You know, so, I mean, what do you guys think? Is it really lonely? I mean, are you guys really surrounded by this bubble that people, you know, think you guys are?
I think we have each other, and I can't even imagine what it would be like being a solo DJ traveling. We have each other, we're really close with our family, and we're also very selective with who's on our team. And that isn't only people who are telling us what we want to hear. We have people who are constantly challenging us every single day on our team and telling us that hey, I think that song is great, but you guys have done better, and I know that you can tap into another area of creativity. So people that are giving us constructive criticism. And I think it's loneliness sometimes is a choice. I know that some people aren't blessed with a tribe like we have. Like, we are just, we're so lucky to have our family and to be close with people that we work with. But I know some people that have that all, but they still feel lonely. And I know that we both can feel that on the road. But anytime I get into that kind of mindset, I think it's really important to pick up good habits and to get into a routine. So for touring, I love to explore. It's one of my favorite things to walk around. Almost every single day on tour, I walked for almost 3 to 5 miles every single day, just exploring cities completely alone and just walking down. And I was physically alone, but that makes me feel like I'm a part of something. And it's hard to explain, but it makes me feel like I'm a part of something that's much bigger than me, and that I'm just any other animal walking on this planet, right, and experiencing life, and life is so beautiful. And so I think it's important to get into a good routine and to have good habits.
And you guys have each other, so that's a good thing, because there's some artists out there that are just alone, you know? I mean, you look at like Tiësto, Steve Aoki. So has there ever been like an artist that called you, leaned on your shoulders, like, hey girls, you know, I'm going through this?
We have a lot of friends in this industry that, not even artists, but managers or people on more of like the management side of things, that we've talked to about some issues that they've been going through because they're either overworked or don't feel like they have any time for their personal life.
Or they're having an existential crisis.
Yeah, or like losing themselves in the industry. I mean, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Balance is really important, I noticed, because I think you can, there was a period in our career where I was like so obsessed with my presence on social media, and that was huge for us in the beginning of our career, and like, you know, in garnering a fan base and communicating with our fans. And I just went down this like dark, the rabbit hole of social media, and then I took a step back and completely stepped away from it for almost 10 months. And now that I'm back on it, I'm constantly reminding myself to find a balance between staying in touch with fans and promoting things that interest me. I mean, promoting our music and our art, but then at the same time, knowing when to step away.
All right, being an entrepreneur, you have to be motivated daily. You have to read books, you know, about people you like. You have to believe what no one else does. Are there any days where you're like, you just want to quit, you know, it's not working out, you know, ever like have a feeling of giving up?
Yeah, I think that's normal, though. I think that exists in every artist or creative's head. Mm-hmm. You just have a day. It's not necessarily a depressed state of being, but you either see an artist who's doing it so much better than you, mm-hmm. or someone else who is selling out tours and stadiums, mm-hmm. or just you start comparing yourself, or you look at your own art and you feel like you've done better in the past, and you compare it to your older self. And mm-hmm. I mean, all these things exist in our daily lives, but I mean, I don't experience that often because I'm really good at just ignoring it. Just being like, all right, we're in our own lane, focus on this lane. Cruella exists right here. I don't need to look anywhere else. But I think every artist and creative deals with that feeling.
And people who are stuck in their jobs that are not making money, who are lonely, you know, people that need some motivational advice, would you guys like to say something to them?
Take a risk. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, go for it. I'm thinking.
I think staying inside your comfort zone is the most, it's almost dangerous in a way, because you spend your whole life thinking about what could be, and you spend your whole life stuck in this place where you're depressed. And taking a risk is scary, but I think it gives you so much life, and it's a challenge. And I think as a human being, I love challenges. And there have been so many times where like we've accepted to do a show, like for example, Good Morning America in New York City. I remember when we first accepted to do that, I was freaked out, and my impulse was to say no. Mm-hmm. And there's so many times I wanted to say no because I'm just terrified. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what builds character, is stepping outside of your comfort zone and doing things that you're not, you don't, you feel like you're not good at. And then, because you learn from those experiences, because you can't always just stay in this little tiny world of doing your routine. And
sorry to cut you off. And I think that's how the Pakistani community, especially in Pakistan, they don't take risk. I mean, let's, like, for example, students, right? Let's say you like someone, you know, I mean, she's only going to say no, right? You just go for it, right?
Yeah, but we even meet people our age. Yeah, it's not just Pakistanis, though. It's like, it's rejection people are so afraid of, but if you think about it, when you step back, what is the worst that can happen? Like, our dad is always telling us, no one's dying, you're not being tortured, you're not physically being hurt, no lives are being lost, you know, if someone rejects you.
It's just this thing. It's just this thing, and you'll get over it. And it only makes you stronger. It only makes you smarter.
So if there is a guy in Pakistan who wants to ask their crush out, go ahead. Otherwise,
just do it, guys.
Otherwise,
do
she'll
it.
Be married to someone else, and then you'll be the mamu of their child.
Oh, right? My God.
Or the football.
Yes. And the thing is, if they reject you, then it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
Then you don't deserve a person who's going to reject you.
Or maybe so, later on, I think. You know, that's how relationships sometimes are. Like, you know, you get rejected in high school. Then maybe later on, you know, you guys meet up on social media. And then there's stories like that.
Is that your story?
Yeah, there's so many stories like that. And in terms of businesses, to a lot of Pakistanis that go abroad, you know, they're just thinking practical, you know, they're like, okay, I go to let's say Chicago, right? And okay, what are my options? Maybe I'll drive a cab, you know, it's easier, you know, or maybe I'll own a shop because I have some money saved up, you know, not taking a risk of like, maybe let's get a degree over here.
Yeah.
You know? So a lot of, I think you have to take the risk, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? I mean, if you guys just sat there, you know, and you had all this music in your hand and you didn't like submit it somewhere, you guys would probably just be ordinary girls and not rock stars like today.
Did you have something you say to, like, advice for, what did you say, an up and coming artist or someone?
Yeah, someone down in the dumps, maybe.
Down in the dumps.
Man.
But you can still be there too.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I mean, what I automatically think of when I'm down in the dumps is plan a trip. Plan a trip to travel somewhere that you've never been. Mm-hmm. And that always gives you a new perspective.
And you have to surround yourself with positive people, you know, because they say that every third individual you hang out with, you are the example of them. Mm-hmm. So if your friends are negative, you know, you're going to be negative.
Yeah.
So you have to have positive friends, and you have to, like, build each other up.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And that's what a lot of, you know, people lack these days.
Yeah.
Just choosing their friends.
Yeah, I think, honestly, when I think about moving to Los Angeles, it's the beauty of Los Angeles is that there's so many artists and entrepreneurs taking risks, and including our sister, our older sister, Aisha, who left. She packed her bags, left her corporate job in Chicago.
Very comfortable job.
Yeah, it was a comfortable job with a guaranteed pay, a salary, and left to move to Los Angeles. Had no idea what kind of job she was going to have, but that's what an artist does, is you take that risk. Our aunt, our Popo, she had a job as a school teacher her whole life, moved from Texas to Los Angeles, and started making jewelry. She quit her job as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's scary because you don't know if you're going to have that security blanket of a job, but if you stay focused, then it could work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree. Any last messages you guys want to give? How did I do?
You did well.
Great question.
Yes.
First Cruella podcast. Yes. Out of the ordinary, not the same old boring questions.
Loved it. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Whenever we get to like talk about family and creativity and even hobbies, stuff outside of music too, is where we love
talking. You guys watch cricket?
No.
No. Played cricket? No.
No. Well, I'm horrible at sports. I wouldn't ever be
any interest in watching?
Yeah.
Have you guys been to a baseball game?
No.
Cubs game maybe?
No.
No.
I'd be more inclined to watch a cricket game.
Yeah, cricket I'd be down, but
you probably want to watch T20, which is like the shorter format of the game.
Okay. Because they can go for so long.
Yeah.
Because
the test matches, it's like 5 days, and then there's a one day that like lasts like 6 hours, 7 hours.
Wow.
And then there's a T20 that's like 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And Pakistan's the number one T20 side. They just won. Yeah, they just won a few matches, and Pakistan's cricket forgot the name. The Champions Trophy.
Okay.
So Pakistan beat India
in
the final last year.
Huge.
To Pakistan. Because the Pakistan always loses in tournaments against India, whether it's the World Cup, the Asia Cup, or the Champions Trophy or T20s. So whenever we meet India, we always lose. But this time we won. And yeah, like Pakistan went crazy.
That's awesome. We'll just drink some chai and watch cricket.
Yeah, drink some
cricket.
Chai, lassi, celebrate. Yeah. Cool. So next time you guys are around and you guys are not on your special diet, maybe we grab a chai.
Absolutely.
Right? So take us to the Vaughn and take us your
chai and gulab jamun.
That's I know we're no fun
it's
right
like
now.
My favorite combo.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Oh, yes.
Ras malai.
Oh my God, yes.
Jalebi.
Please, jalebi is so good too. I will eat everything. Any mitai, any burfi, anything. I have such a bad sweet tooth.
All right, and that's it. This is the first ever podcast for Pak Manzil, and we got Kruala.
So thank you. Shukriya, bahut shukriya.
All right, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. I want to thank Kruala for coming on the podcast. You know, it's funny, after the podcast, a few months later, I went to their show, gave me a VIP treatment. They're very good, not just on the DJ set, but they're very bloody good live. So if you haven't seen them live, you got to go. You also got to go check out their Coke Studio, the song they did, Runaway, that song and that fusion with the Qawwali is amazing. Check that out. Keep supporting the podcast. Peace, love, and hugs. Have a great weekend. Yeah, buddy.
You're listening to Ali Z, bringing the hottest entertainment news to you.